This call is being recorded.
Okay, go ahead.
So, do you need me to start over from the beginning?
No, I don't think so. I think we can just pick it up from there.
Okay. I think we got the patches. We decided to give them a try because no matter what, like, I always encounter customers that are interested in anti-aging. They want to feel younger. They want to look younger. And, you know, we're open to exploring anything that's going to help people feel better profoundly at a deep level, that's going to improve their DNA and their quality of life. And I thought, I had a really strong feeling that this was going to be something that would be a part of our health journey, because what I found out is that there's really no ceiling on how good you can feel. Like, I had a really long, protracted health journey to feeling healthy again that started pretty much a couple years before I even met you, Jason. And then I started using the alchemy, and that was a big part of my healing. And so I thought, this would be awesome if it does what it says it does and what these pictures are reporting to me. So we ordered the patches and we vetted them for a really long time because we wanted to be able to say, hey, this is like truly doing something amazing for us. And it's been like different things at different times concerning the patches. Like for myself, it's been kind of a cumulative process, but there's just no question that I feel like I'm operating on a totally different level. Like I've broken through to a new level of health, whether it's deeper energy, more detoxification than I even thought I needed, things like improved digestion, just improved. It's like everything, all the systems of my body are operating on a higher level. I didn't have any arthritis or any kind of aches or pains or anything like that, so I haven't been able to test it in that capacity. But I have had other friends and people that I've given the patches to that are saying like, oh my God, it's taking away my knee pain. Or somebody, our assistant, Nicole, had like a messed up neck, like a really severely bad neck problem. And she took care of it, it went away, and then it started to act up again. And she put the patch on her neck and it just within less than 20 minutes, it was gone. It was like totally gone. So I've seen their power and a lot of the things that they can do just on a purely physical level. And I think they also have another element to them, like they're an alchemy unto itself. Yeah. So that's my introduction on my experience with them. Is everybody there?
Sorry, I had to fill up my water here, so I ran off. Wait, how did you finish?
I just was telling people some examples of what the different benefits of the patches.
Okay.
Personally, and for example, Nicole and our other friend Sharon that had like knee pain, and then Nicole where her little incident with the neck. And I gave,
right.
She put a patch on it and it just like took care of it instantly.
You want me to go? Shall I go?
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to share.
You know, for me, I'm seeing a lot of new faces around here, but anybody who's known me for quite a while knows that I'm going to begin examining anything from pretty much a completely non-3D place. and so intuitively, you know, right when it was brought up, I was, yep, something's going on there. I knew it. I knew it instantly. I didn't go to the website. I didn't even have, I'd never even seen a patch. You know, I knew that, that they were coming. For instance, Mary got going on them, and I still hadn't, you know, I hadn't taken time out of my busy day to truly check them out on a, you know, conscious intellectual level. And finally, when they got into my possession and Mary told me where to put them, I'm going, no, I'm going to put them where I want to put them. And so I did, and I, because I'm almost always doing things as I'm directed to do. And within seconds, I felt as though I were being supported in a more upright posture slash attitude. I've never quite been able to find the words for this that had to do with the perpendicularity of my whole body as it was standing on the planet, with the planet being the plane to which I was perpendicular, right? And that was just the very first thing that was obvious to me. It was as though I could, you know, it was one of those kinds of things where, you know, like a silly little thought, if I put patches all over my body, am I just going to lift right off the ground or something? And that was what was going on with that. And so that drove me to go look into it a bit and read up on the guy. And so I went up and looked up Dr. Schmidt. Is he a doctor in there? I always call him Dr. Schmidt.
I don't think he is, but he's a, like a real life, you know, I describe him as like, he's a real life Tony Stark.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, and so much more impressive to me than like Elon Musk or.
I'd love to go sit down with him sometime, because I think I could just say, come on.
Hey, come. Jason, this is Caesar.
Hey.
Hey.
So that's the nexus that was over there in the chat. I wonder,
that's me.
Is that the nexus that I know and love, or is this
an imposter? This is the nexus you know and love.
Yay!
Yeah. All right.
So my question with what you experienced, was it something that left you, or something that was filled within you, or like, can you describe it in that sense?
I would describe it as it instantly created a field around me that neutralized gravity.
Okay.
And I don't know that that would be, but only somewhat, you know what I'm saying? It's not like I was lifting off the ground or anything like that, but I was being held upright. That's all I can tell you. And it's almost like I'm, you know, bereft of terminology to truly explain it. That it had to do literally with the core of the earth, my perpendicularity to the surface of the planet. And that was kind of it. So that was the first thing that I noticed. And then, you know how things are, by and by I tried this, and put a patch here, put a patch there. But I should explain a little bit about what it's been like for me as an alchemist, because, you know, I'm a little bit autistic or Asperger's. You know, I would tick a lot of the boxes off on any test for that, and so it's sometimes easy for me to lose sight of certain kinds of things, but I'm able to tap into other kinds of things very well, and so in this sort of habitual way of thinking of mine, where you know, I was too often under the impression that I was invincible, I got pretty poisoned being around all of the alchemies all the time. And that's kind of rugged, because, you know, you take in heavy metals no matter what, and And then you've got the buffering action of heavy metals and those densities that we're fighting against. The higher vibratory actions of the alchemies themselves, and then I was under a, right when we got down to Colorado, as a matter of fact, I was under a serious parasitic attack that apparently got a door opened to that because of some rage that I threw one day where I got so angry, I just opened the door. And I later found out that there was an army of beings that were basically trying to erase me from existence. And we're talking past lives and other worlds. So not just Jason, but the higher Jason, the one that from which all of the other Jasons fragmented, you could say. And that was awful. It was awful, and it mainly attacked my left foot. And so that opened up a whole can of worms on, an investigation of trying to sort out everything that was an underlying condition. It kind of turns out that there are really only three things that are behind all disease. And one of those is, for instance, Lyme's, what is misdiagnosed as Lyme's disease. Meaning to write up a paper on that for a long time, because once you know what the roots are, the rest of it just sort of falls like dominoes. But I was down. I had to have Mary go get me a walker because of what was going on in that foot. And that was, it was awful. And it aged me 10 years being here. All of that, it just drained the life out of me. And so it's taken quite a process to get back. And these patches have had everything to do with it. But what I did, all of that time, had in the back of my mind that it had this action that's a field in me, and it was really about, I'd say, something like 6 or 8 weeks ago. I can't really remember. I felt myself click into almost like saying the vibratory realm where these things exist and where they actually come from, and not just from David Schmidt. I couldn't even tell you whether or not he's aware of where he's from, as an example. But it was a conditioning process that was almost like saying that everything finally just lined up and snapped into place, and I understood these things on levels that are way beyond what is reported on the website and so on. And that's when I said, okay, well, now that I know what these things are really about, it's time to share them with other people, especially because we are the type of folks, meaning Mary and I and literally everybody on this call that can leverage and optimize to a much greater extent the full potential of what these are and can do. And that took 3 to 4 months for that to click in like that for me. And Mary's been taking pictures just to document what's been going on with me. And there is no question how much more life force I have flowing through me than I did about a year ago. That's kind of the synopsis of my tale with it, and just gaining an increasing understanding of the kinds of things that we can label as technological marvels, even when they're just in the form of a little patch. But there's good science behind it, and you can measure glutathione levels, and they've done that, and so all they ever have to do is measure a glutathione level and then use an X39 and a glutathione patch together. And then you take blood and you find out that there's, anywhere between a 200 and 400% increase in the presence of glutathione being produced by the body. which is a another big time plus for me, is that it is utilizing and optimizing body systems to generate a ton of what it does instead of having to use some external force or influence or supplement to create the same effect, even though, for instance, I still use glutathione. And so having said all that, what I have become very confident of is that with the continued use of this and whatever else is supposed to come across our screen, because these aren't the only technologies we're going to be seeing. I mean, med beds are going to be widely available within, you know, a short period of time, a year or two. And you know, we might as well ride what all of the off-worlders are bringing through at this time to shift everything into the new paradigms. And what I became very confident of is that as soon as we're basically finished processing all of what we're processing for the entire planet, because as you may know, everybody who uses my alchemy is basically signing off on doing a great deal more processing than their fair share as just as a single person. And you don't even have to use my alchemy or our alchemy to be and do that processing. You're here as a volunteer helping out with this transition, so you're doing that anyway. But what our alchemy does is widen that bandwidth so that you can flow more out of it for transmutation by all the helpers out of Earth's meridians. And the circular thing that I'm trying to get to here is that I have every confidence in the world that I will be in better health at the age of 70 than I was at 45. And that's all that matters to me, because, you know, I don't care about long life and all that. It's, you know, it's just all of this is just a stage play to me, but I want to enjoy the hell out of it while I'm doing it. And so, you know, that's pretty much the size of it.
What do you think of the salt?
Let's see if we can figure out. I'm gonna mute everybody real quick here, and then I'm going to just unmute Mary again. Now, something we can have a little bit of fun with if we want is, I don't have one. I'll sit down my headphones and walk back out and grab one of the patches here. But because I understand them, they understand me, they also are self-aware, living entities, and I can work with them and use them any way I like. In fact, I can just use them and do, remote healing with them if I wanted to. But another thing I was going to mention is that this really is worth mentioning, because anybody who is older than probably, you know, 50, 55, I'm 64 years old. When I got my wisdom teeth taken out, they were taken out by literally a horse dentist. And the guy, I couldn't believe what he got out of his tools to take my wisdom teeth out with. But what it was a hole punch and a hammer. And he took the hole punch to my molars, hammered them, broke them into pieces, and then removed them. And he was literally just put the hole punch right there in the molar where any of us would put it to break one of them apart if that's what we wanted to do, right? And my neck started hurting from that day on. I was 24 years old, and it's never not hurt since. It's hurt ever since, and nothing has ever helped with it. All it does is it gets worse or it gets tolerable. And so I've learned to live with it, obviously, and I've been able to function on a very high level, and I'm a pretty athletic guy to begin with, and so it was never that big a deal except for when it would become what would be diagnosed as wry neck. Well, last few days, it's been kind of like that. And if I take an X39 patch and put it on each side of the tendons right below the occipital ridges of my skull, the pain is gone. And well, not gone, but, oh, you know, like 60, 70% reduced within, a minute or two. And that was one of the things that I was going, oh, okay. These things are able to respond to a almost like saying a telepathic need. And that surprised me because, that means something else is on the scene saying, okay, we know exactly what this is. You know, I mean, it's very clear what an intent is because actions almost always describe what an intent is, right? And that was one of the other things that convinced me of their power, because there seemed to be a sort of intentional malleability to them that was so potentially instantaneous that it was almost like it was just I was just going through the motions of something that was already planned, and so I thought that was spectacularly cool also. But I'll be right back. I want to go grab one because I want to share this energy with you guys. Okie dokie. All right. I think maybe I could do this without the patches, obviously, but that's what we're talking about for at least the first little bit of this call, and this is the best way to demonstrate it, but. If you've got something that hurts or there's some distress somewhere or you're feeling, upset tummy, whatever, just put your mind on it, your attention on it. And I'm going to use your attention to direct this energy. So 3, 2, 1, locate where you want this to flow. And 3, 2, 1. Here comes the potentiality of the patch. Now.
I feel buzzy.
Did you direct it to anywhere in particular?
Kind of around my whole just in a general way around my whole body.
Anybody want to comment on you know what you noticed initially? Just wave at the screen or whatever. Yeah. I'll unmute you.
Okay. Do we just speak?
There, yeah. There's Michelle Canton, Georgia.
Love everybody. So I just saw this really cool like green orb, right? And it for in the middle, it was kind of like a you know how that thing that they call the blob or the ooze or what's that thing called? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that little, it looked like a little dark orb and a green light just was like, and then it went like a spiral. That was fun. Thank you. I just wanted to say I love y'all. Thank you. Thank you.
I love you. Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, we're really all kind of learning together the potential of everything, because generally speaking, you know, when I see people like David Schmidt and other people with technologies, I usually pick up that they themselves do not know what the full potential of what they have done. Because they're usually not in touch with other levels of being where their own technologies also exist. And so what I've sensed for a while now, and by habit, I always kind of sense this anyway, because we can take things always to another level simply because of our understanding of it. And so we're going to learn together, you know, the full potential of what these things can do and be. And so feedback is always, and, you know, we're going to carve out a section of the Super Beings website to talk, you know, a lot more about this, because this isn't going away. These things are the real deal. And so, anybody else have anything to add?
In the chat, how do you pronounce your name?
You mean the Natsiki?
Natsiki, yeah. She says her sore throat feels better.
Yeah, my name is Natsiki. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
So, yeah, I'm here in South Africa, and I had a sore throat because I was feeling fluish. So I focused the energy on my sore throat, and it feels much better now.
Good, yay!
I'm seeing some. You know, there's energies flowing in and around you. Do you want me to go ahead and use these and go after that right now?
Jason, do you have a glutathione for him?
I can go get one. Be right back.
Okay. Yeah.
This is so above Reiki Master. It's awesome. What would we even call it? Mind power, super beings. We're sharing healing patches. That was so cool.
We're just transmitting light.
Yes. I asked my doctor, I said, since I'm a Reiki Master, when you're healing me with this machine, can I think of people I love and just send it to them? And he's like, sure. And it's working. It's amazing. I never knew I could even.
That's awesome.
I'm zoning it across the world. You know, it's cool. I wish it would like literally just knock it all out. We're getting there, right?
We're getting there.
Okay, Nsiki.
Sure.
Here this comes. And it's basically starting right at your crown and just basically just draining out your feet. I'm using the glutathione pads to do this.
Okay.
In fact, for everyone, since glutathione is such a powerful detoxifier, just if you want a hit of this, just open up and let it come. Because detox is an unending process. Now, hi, Vanessa. Exactly. You know, you say that the percentage you say is kind of interesting because, Vanessa, I don't know who's, if everybody's seen what's going on in the chat. Vanessa says her ankle has been hurting for a couple of weeks and 75% better. Those are kind of the numbers. You know, it's funny we're talking about percentages and whatnot, but those are the numbers that I'm kind of usually talking about in what it does. Like I had one of my arches fell when I was a kid because my dad basically put me in cowboy boots and then made me walk a steep hillside to scare deer out to the hunters and it just fell, and I've been dealing with basically a club foot all my life, and so between the hip and the knee and things like that. I've always dealt with some kind of pain simply because of misalignments. And so if I want to go out and go for a good power walk or something like that, I can direct some of the X39 energy into that knee, and it helps.
Wow.
Okay. Anybody got any questions? I know that in on this call is a guy that he's a dear friend of ours. Came down to one of our gatherings and promptly harmed himself on an ATV. Nathan, where are you? Are you still here, Nathan?
Yeah, right on, Nathan. On this one.
Yeah, he's there.
Hey, I unmuted.
Yeah,
you.
Well, I think we'll get to some of the questions if you'd like that you asked me in your letter to me. But if anybody's got any questions or anything you want to say about these patches, let's get that finished up first.
I'm certainly interested in trying them. They sound really like there's something about them too that I find that's cutting edge. And it's exciting. Like, hey, there's a 90-day money back guarantee. So,
right. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you try them?
You know, it's one of those kinds of things where it's like a patch, really, seriously. But I also, sometimes the simplest things really are the way to go. You know what I mean? The technology, if you look at what they're doing, it's not that complex. You know, we emit infrared light. The only reason that you're able to touch a screen and have it do anything, all touch screens, it's infrared light. The infrared light's coming from your finger. You emit infrared light, and it's just reflecting it back. And what else is going to do that other than some sort of crystalline substance? And so they've just got a crystalline substance in the substrate, and they know how to polarize what's there and reflect it back. It's really pretty simple. And that was, another of the reasons that I was attracted to it to begin with, because, I didn't, although, albeit I'm walking around with patches stuck to me on a golf course, as an example, it's better than having a wire, or something like that. But That's why I it's why I call this a tech.
Yeah.
Am I muted still?
Nope.
Oh. I've been trying to get back on. It kicked me off. Apparently my camera won't allow me to do this, but I didn't really read any information on the patch, but I do understand it's more than likely a holographic technology.
Right.
Okay. So I've experienced, do you remember when they had those bracelets that you put it, they were usually on, they were the holographic stickers, and you would have a guy pressing really hard on your hand, and you could hold him up his entire strength. You know, they were around for a couple years, but they died out. Do you remember that little stint, those holographic stickers that people were
using? Yeah. I that's kind of ringing a bell.
So with the implications of what this can bring and what you're saying about how you experienced it, I mean, obviously I trust and love you, and I know that you demand, Jason, but it's definitely something. This is the reason I'm on the call, because of the cutting edge of the tech that's being brought forth,
right? And you know, another thing about this guy, and I haven't studied this nearly to the extent that Mary has. You know, she's got the expertise, and you know, I'm gonna speak about these things in terms of a wizard, right? But that dude, you know, just go look at David Schmidt, and don't. You know, you don't have to necessarily listen, just feel him and go into him, and you'll see, you know, what's going on there. He's a powerhouse, and he has, I don't know what it is, how many, Mary, you know, 150 patents or something like that on various technologies.
I think he comes from a family of inventors, and his uncle had like a long list of stuff too. And I think he's sitting on 100 patents that aren't even related to patches, like just other cutting edge, like what I would consider to be new earth technology. And I was watching him at a conference, like I was just at a virtual LifeWave conference, and he actually started talking about alchemy, and I was blown away. I was like, okay, where's this going? And he was talking about, a lot of deep stuff that I don't even think half the membership that was there was really getting, because like there's a lot of people that are just into it because it's a fabulous product and MLM, but David gets it on a deeper level, what he's doing. And I think he's got earth cleanup technology, and that LifeWave is just his funding so that he can do that. Like, I think he's got stuff up his sleeve,
right?
That's cooler than the patches.
Right. The
Well, can I say something real quick, Jason?
Let me get this out. It's just a sentence. What I want to mention, and keep this to yourself. Keep this to yourself, please. But this guy worked for DARPA.
What'd you say? No, kidding.
And
on the course, white hat side of things.
Well, right, you right, know, right. They were down the middle anyway. You know, they had to be. Everything.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. Like, they seem to be a pretty pivotal like company at exploring how can they be on just one side, right?
Right, exactly. And so, you know, it was the plan to begin with to release all the tech that all of those agencies came up with, you know, by gray hats, basically. They were all going to produce it. One side was going to try to control it, and the other side was going to release it. That's all there is to it. And so the long and short of it is that of the handful, the not even handful of people that I myself would bank on, it's this guy. and what he's going to be producing over the next decade, and what it can do in concert with what I make and what his products are going to help me to bring through and to continually upgrade our own offerings. Oh, Katie, it's David Schmidt, the guy that invented these things. You know, that's what I want to do, is network with the guys that that I know in my bones I would bank on. And he's one of them. And, you know, I'm going to be finding, you know, probably two or three more. We are. Mary usually finds everything that's cool anyway. And I'm the one bringing up the rear between the two of us. But I'm digging it. I'm really digging it, because it isn't just a turn of the corner on my health profile. It's a turn of the corner on how I am as a paradigm. And you know, what I am in the world and so on. And so that's really cool. Katie, it's, yeah, like Mary just said, it's DARPA, which was it's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency or whatever it is. And, so anyway,
Jason, yeah, what I wanted to say real quick about how you described what you felt when you first used the patch, it goes even further than just right now. So if you experience something that's going to line up your reality and your vibration and your frequency to that mode, the way you described it, it's right. Only going to be better. Okay, so let's go into the med beds. Now, right, if your right. frequency is lined up properly, and you get, just so you know, I'm involved in a group that's already lined up for the first set of those.
Oh, nice.
We can talk about that later. But if your frequency is lined up, obviously with the alchemy, you know, the right spiritual practices and something like this, then the med beds will have a better effect, because it's all deals with frequencies. So right. It all lines up. This is a beautiful thing. Another right. thing is, when we were doing the energy transfer, is I can't see things. That's not part of my gig
right.
here.
Right.
But I can feel, and I can intuitively understand what's going on. And
yeah, you're a good translator of the feeling.
Right.
Right.
So what was occurring is, obviously the energy from the patch is fantastic. It's a beautiful feeling. But this goes into another aspect, is we've got how many people on this call with intent? And right. it goes into, this group was creating such a massive projection.
Oh,
so it was a beautiful moment. It was very, very good.
We create a vortex just by being together. And yep. And there are all kinds of beings all over this right this second, doing tons of stuff with what we're doing. And all we're doing is chatting away about a patch.
Now, though, see, the thing is, that's what I'm trying to get to, is we created a massive force with that. I would like to try it in my own space by myself, so I can, you know for sure. But I did notice in the middle of the vortex was the energy of the patch, binding it together. So there's that.
Right.
Just okay. basically increasing light, which is, I mean, the alchemy does that as well. I feel like maybe I have a different experience, because I've got the benefit of the alchemy to also kind of amplify that. But one thing I wanted to mention for everyone, the thing that I've noticed about the patches is getting enough minerals and getting hydrated makes it even more conductive. And that just makes sense, right? Because light would need almost, it's like they need a little bit of raw material to like really turn up and turn on. And Jason and I have kind of discovered the potential and power of getting proper minerals into your body. He does it through azomite. I have my own little kind of morning Soleil that I do with salt and electrolytes and ginger and apple cider vinegar. Like I've got like a little, almost like a natural Gatorade that I do in the morning, and it just is so good. And then I patch after, you know, doing my spiritual practice. I mineralize, I do my little cleanse and ground routine, and then I patch. And then I feel like amazing. It's like this whole routine that I've got going on, and it's super powerful. And I feel like that, like doing that cumulatively every day has made a huge difference. And if you're a sun gazer type person, you can, you know, put a patch on your third eye and do your sun gazing with it too. All of that. It's just like really fun to experiment with the patches and figuring out how to maximize the experience.
Yeah, that's something that I really should have mentioned too, is that when it all clicked into place for me, it was also, there was like a cumulative effect. And so it was like, it was an acclimation, a 4 month, I would say, acclimation to it. Now, yes, it was working the whole time. I knew it was doing stuff. I was using them. And fairly consistently. Sometimes I forget, like we all do, right? But I was trying to get them on by noon every day and off by bedtime. And it's not quite the right word, but it's the only one that works for me, because there's a good word. It's like if you took the word cumulative and mixed it together with conditioning, with not just cellular or molecular conditioning, but the underlying quantum part of all that. And I know that's also true. And so not only is there going to be, you know, what these are doing, but whatever else rolls into this made by other people that are meant to be, you know, found and utilized by people like us, so that we can not only do our work for the world, but to spread it if that's what's appropriate. And so once again, that's why I say I like to bank on this guy, because I think all he's going to do is produce more things that compound what he's already done.
They've got something in the works where they're studying. Apparently there's this lobster. I had no idea, but lobsters live like a really long time, like 500 years or something crazy like that. And they're studying the unique qualities of animals that have like serious longevity. And they're also looking at different, I think they're also looking into something for fat burning. So I anticipate like in the coming next couple of years that there'll be even more offerings, and I'm just going to continue to test it out and offer it to you guys as soon as it's available.
Go ahead, Peter.
Oh, hey, Jason. Hey, yeah, I definitely look forward to using these patches. I placed a really big order the other day.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions that I'm kind of try to phrase into, like, at the end, maybe just like one question, so you don't have to answer all the little questions. and it's not so much in the form of a question, but in the form of like my perspective or my personal viewpoint.
Okay.
And I love your alchemy. I've been using it for about a half a year, and I've used other people's alchemy throughout my past. I was kind of under the impression that, you know, alchemy can do it all for me, for us eventually. And I'm also aware that, you know, consciousness is the ultimate transformational. Everything has to come through consciousness in order for the body to transform itself. So I'm kind of like thinking about, you know, the alchemy and also these patches. And one question I have was like, do we have to keep on using these patches, or are they going to, you know, do the stem cell thing so that our body can do can feel whatever Mary and you are feeling now, you know, continuously. Or
let me answer that before you go on, because okay. that builds on something that I've already said. But what I'm really good at is being, you know, pardon me if this sounds boastful, but I'm 10 years ahead all the time, and you have what? Been 10 years ahead.
Oh yeah, okay.
And it's been like that since I was a kid, and I know things that you know, I know that nobody else really even knows. And something that in that way, I'm able to see horizons well ahead of time. And so here's what my feeling is about that precisely. And that's that you know, we're always, everything is alchemical, right? With this very meeting is alchemical, because we are all ingredients in it.
Yeah.
And the thing that I know is going to happen is that you know, there's an orchestration of my own team upstairs, and other teams are involved in it, and everything is monitored, and there's always feedback, and there are new inventions, and there are things that, you know, like there could literally be, you know, somebody will come to me and say, hey, I want you to make an alchemy out of an ant's nest. And it's because they need 50 of us to use it. And what it's going to do is generate an energy among those 50 people, and they're going to go use it in a place in Antarctica. You see what I mean? And the full scope of all the jobs that we're involved in don't really, we're never even, you know, aware of it. And we don't have to be, because it is so complex and everything that's going on upper levels. And so in this instance, what I know is that the alchemical interactions that are taking place between us, the patches, the alchemy that I make, and things that are going on in the gang upstairs and everybody that we're involved in, that these patches are going to lead to something within, I think, about the next 2 months that become a new alchemy, simply because the patches were behind the impetus of creating it. Wow. That alchemy, I think, is going to be one that winds up being one that could function in the capacity that you talk about. And that is where it is just a systemic stem cell regenerative process. But I don't know that I can't, for example, say that that somebody would be able to use that without having gone through a course of the patches first. That's what my sense is now. For my part, you know, I'm going to use them until I'm directed not to. And that's sort of all there is to that.
Yeah.
I feel like if we lived in a world that wasn't polluted, then maybe that would be possible. Like, I don't mind adding that until, you know, unless I come across something that is going to replace it. For me, I would be comfortable being like, yeah, I'll use this until, like Jason says, like I'm directed not to, or there's med beds which have some sort of effect on restoring us to a feedback loop of, you know, a torus of energy where we are completely and totally not dependent on external mirrors like patches to do its job. I see what you're saying. I think consciousness is involved, but one of the things that, and I don't know if this is part of your question, but one of the things we found out was that, and there's a lot of spirituality where it's like the body, ignore the body, like suppress the body, And we just kind of found out how important the physical body is.
Yeah.
You know, doing things that support the physical body, and that that is part of the, I guess I hate this term, but the spiritual.
Oh, it's the highest spirituality. It is. It's the highest spirituality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This body is a tool of such marvelous potential that there isn't anything that is above or beyond it in this system. And so, you know, if I think that some of the deepest and most well-guarded secrets have to do with what can be done with this body.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I just kind of phrased that in there because I wanted to, the nature of the question, but I totally agree with you. The body, so many people have been ignoring the body, and that's one thing that I've been honing in on in the last 2 years of my age of spiritual stuff. So yeah, I guess, yeah, you've kind of answered my question, and I really see how it can change, and I'm really looking forward to it. I just wanted to, I'm also kind of inspired by the MedBed idea too, because I am getting older in my years, and I'd like to get a hold of Nexus there about where he, what he has connected with MedBeds. But I just want to throw this out there. It's like, I met this woman who's kind of a teacher and that I'm working with, and she's coming from the place of a very holistic thing, like we're talking about, is the consciousness and the body. You can't ignore both. But somebody asked her a question and about MedBeds, and she spoke in such convincing off the cuff manners that she just said, I am my own MedBed, you know. And I, like, this is someone that I'm gonna, like, the way you, Jason, said you were going to, some term about following David Schmidt. Well, this woman is someone I'm not gonna forget about. And then, you know, I
right,
you know,
well, you know, and that's kind of true, you know. And so it kind of goes like this. One of the most gifted seers literally on the planet is somebody I work with, and you know, if he were going to nutshell what my alchemy is about, he would say, you know, you don't need Jason's alchemy, but you know, because everything you need is you know, within, and that happens to be true. Especially if you, you know how to generate it, know how to meditate on it, know how to will it into being, et cetera, et cetera. But he said, but if you'd like to save 2,000 years of your life in clearing work, then go ahead and use Jason's alchemy, because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Yeah. That's all there is to it. But no, you don't need it. And the truth is that time doesn't really factor into it. We only believe it does, but it doesn't, because, you know, once you're out of here, linear time doesn't mean anything at all. And so those 2,000 years don't mean anything at all. It just means that you're going to save 2,000 years of repetitive embodiment to get all of that clearing work done.
Yeah. Right? And that's what Christ ran into 2,000 years ago.
Right. And so the interesting part about that is that we are in fact visitors. I think everybody here knows that. We got called here. Well, I'm kind of primary to the whole equation here, but you know, I always present it as we, because this kind of is, you know, my game. But we're here to help out, and it's mostly energetically. But the thing is that we're all on such a high level before we get here that the spirituality being discussed here is almost barbaric compared to what we already know. And in that respect, what we're doing more than anything is using our very high level knowledge to ace this being human thing so that we can help everybody else ace this being human thing.
Yeah,
and therefore, it's what we learn from you know, or the, you know, the amalgam of our own experiences and so on and so forth of how to utilize this, this machine that it has stacks of DNA that are used only on higher levels, right? There is no such thing as junk DNA. The other strands are active on higher levels being used by beings that are right where we are, right? They're just in other levels. And so if you wanted to put a definition on how spirituality is going to work, it's going to be all about the body because of what these bodies are capable of.
Yeah.
So, Nathan had some questions.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, on my journey, I've known you guys for a while, Jason and Mary. I've definitely haven't been a part of the group or been taking the alchemy for a while, but it when I was engaged with it and I went full deep into it. You know, it changed me in ways physically, like the way that I experienced energy. I started having UFO contact. You know, I had some pretty powerful, what seemed to be like dreamlike experiences, but I couldn't discern whether it was reality or a dream. Like it felt real. Like I felt like I was levitating in my dream. Yeah, and I won't go down the path and all my experiences again, but there's, you know, there's merit to the alchemy on levels that I can't even, I don't fully understand, but, you know, the way that I experience energy now, something's changed within me physically and I'm still learning and, it's a fascinating topic. What I kind of want to touch on, David Hudson brought up in one of his seminars that alchemy was used to feed the spirit body, not the physical. So what do you have to say about that? Because like, I haven't taken the alchemy for a while, but I still have these residual, it's definitely not as profound, but I still have these residual feelings that definitely have changed me ever since taking it.
Hey, Nathan, I had a loud sound come through my headset, and so I missed your actual question. I heard, you know, right so, up to, I didn't even hear you say David, but I heard Hudson.
Yeah, so can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so within the past few weeks or about a month ago, I watched a really interesting seminar from David Hudson, and he touched on, he was referencing the Egyptian Book of the Dead and how they talked about that it was the food of the spirit body. Mm-hmm. And that there was this food that they would use to feed that certain body and not the physical.
Right.
So, but what's interesting is that physically, I feel like something's changed on me on an energetic level, the way that I experience things. Now, it's just, to me, it's like, is this happening on a physical level? Is this...
I've got your question. So to begin with, you know, something you brought up Saint Germain in your letter to me,
yeah.
I believe. And you know, and worked literally with Saint Germain for several years in the conversation.
It sounds like it is. It could be higher.
Hey, Caesar, could you mute yourself? Like...
Oh, I'm sorry.
And we were just, you know, it was Peter Schenck. Peter Schenck is kind of, he's a fragment of Saint Germain, who was, you know, we got so familiar, I was just calling him Saint G. And we asked one day, you know, so compare the alchemy of now to the alchemy of then. And he said, see, that's the thing that you guys have to understand is that as high as you think the Egyptians were, you are thousands of times higher.
Yeah.
And and he says they would barely even be able to make you out as an energetic orb. That's how far out of their range you vibrate. And yes, they were a very high civilization, and yes, they kind of had it together, and yes, they were very balanced, and they were really balanced, and their tech was amazing, but they couldn't do what we can do, and neither could the Atlanteans. They all required tech to do their healing, and we can do it by thought without even trying. And so I said, so how does it compare? And he said, well, a grain of your alchemy is equal to a ton of their alchemy. And so that's kind of, you know, where you sort of have to start such a discussion, because David Hudson isn't somebody who was aware of that information, right? And yet the things that remain constant in systems that have their, let's say, germination or root in universal principles, they will carry forward. And so the technique that I used to make Sri Yantra is the same technique that I used back then, even though Sri Yantra now is on so much higher of a level, right? And so, yes, for the Egyptians, it was the food of the gods because they actually needed it. They weren't really visitors. They were an experimental civilization. And we're involved in an experimental civilization as we speak. And so what the alchemy is far more for now in a truly utilitarian sense is to make it so that we are portals to those higher energies, because that's what it did at that time, right? And so if as an example, we're going to go, you know, very esoteric right now, and that is the way that Jesus, as an example, was prepared through the highest magic there was, and still is, because that stuff kind of doesn't change either. And those are the kind of esoteric knowledge that you're not going to find anywhere. You have to be shown it or taught it by either higher beings or super adepts and bodies. And that's the way that the translucent symbiotic twin is fleshed out through ritual procedure and ceremonial procedure, because those are the kinds of things that are mathematically responded to by certain kinds of spirits. And so Mary Magdalene, for instance, they were betrothed from when they were kids, and they were married, and she was a high adept in sex magic, and that's why she wore the armband with the serpent on it, because it was all about the serpent coiled at the base of the spine. And through their sex, which was, you know, obviously mind-shattering, but she was very good at directing that energy into his translucent symbiotic twin. And that's why alchemy in the old days, and I'm talking about the 90s, became known or compared to starfire, because that's what was, you know, in, for instance, Anunnaki women's blood, right? And so it was the food of the gods and took on that moniker, so to speak, because the Egyptians, as an example, were sort of, 1,000 years after the Sumerians, as an example. And so for them, it was the food of the gods because they looked at themselves as gods, right? I mean, that was, you know, their arrogance was one of their biggest problems, while they still vibrated in our plane, because they don't, they're long since gone from our timeline. But if you could use things like sex magic to feed that translucent symbiotic twin's body that Jesus wound up using for the quote resurrection unquote, or you could use an alchemy to accomplish the same thing, right? And then once you have created a conduit between what we call the physical and that entity, then they are feeding each other. Does that make sense? Information is flowing between those two entities, meaning what a lot of people call the light body is what I'm calling the translucent symbiotic twin, right? And so that's how it works. Yes, it's food for that entity, but it's also food for you because you are symbiotic.
And I for me, what I find, there must be more in-depth research, just like there is with remote viewing, especially on a clandestine level. So, and I just find your interactions, you said you've met people that have been fairly high level and even have access to the Vatican archives.
Right.
And to me, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty fascinating. And what I'm just curious in the differences of all the different elements that are, I know it's a different state of matter, but what role are they really playing? Like I just, you know, just as I would want to know what a vitamin is doing in the interaction within the body on a chemical level,
the nutshell of that role is, like I said in my letter back to you, and that is that you know, we are here in service, right? And that's kind of it. And
right. So, yeah. It's not about you and your benefits. It's for the world.
What I mean is that you know, the way that modern alchemy came about is that everybody said, you know, everybody thought they were going to ascend, basically. And so, you know, there was the Ascension Alchemy, who was a group that, you know, basically hated my guts. And so let's say that just to couch it in allegorical terms, that a bunch of agents need to be sent behind enemy lines. Okay. And the reason that they have to do that is because they're all carrying radios or a camera so that the camera can be swung around so that headquarters can see what's going on in that place, right? And because, you know, it's a lot harder than you think to materialize and do anything in this world. It has to happen through people that are in it, that are of the earth, that are the salt, the soil, the vegetation, because our nervous systems are in fact a vegetable. Okay. And so what it does is give a lens into this realm, and not just a realm, but an access point. Or I mean, not just a lens, but an access point. And it makes it so that the communication of anything that needs to be communicated to our, you know, higher level teammates, because that's what's going on here. We're the ground crew, and we're our own higher level teammates, by the way, because a lot of us are just, you know, working with our own higher selves to do this. We call it higher selves when in fact it's just a teammate. And that's what it is mostly for, is to have an open, clear, and balanced communicative conduit to higher intelligences. Yeah. So that we can all help each other do what we got to do here. Does that make sense?
I think they're like doorways or keys. If you know how to, I think that they work on, I mean, just because of the way that, Jason, I don't know if this is because it's you and the way that you're so efficient, like that's intrinsic to your personality, is always to like maximize things. Because I noticed that about the alchemy for myself, like in the beginning, I'm like, you can't really say, okay, well, this, for example, like we know valerian root is good for helping you sleep, but the alchemy was more versatile. Like it had more going on with it, depending on your level of awareness, your level of responsibility. So it could benefit the physical body. It could benefit you energetically. It could benefit your psyche. It could start that purification process of helping you let go of stuff. But I also feel like for people that have already sort of traversed and taken care of most of the deep shadowy inner work, what does it do for them? And according to the people that I know that have, that really are in that category, they use it in like deep ceremonies to almost travel to very, like within it in a very communion kind of way. Like I'm thinking of one person in particular who does like adventure tours and in Bali and other places. And for him, there isn't really a need to purify the consciousness. Like he's been doing all that work for decades. So for him, it's more about connecting with these primary archetypal forces of gods and spirits so that he can do healing work on other people and commune and basically experience like, I think for him, it's kind of hard to verbalize because it's so sublime. But he uses the alchemy in a very unique way that I haven't met too many people that do that. So for him, it's like more like an access point to go to deeper realms and have this richer experience. And so he's using it in a different way than a lot of people might be using it. I don't know if that is helpful. It's so diverse. Every time I think I've got a handle on, oh, well, this alchemy does this, I get stories from people about what it's doing for them and how it's helping them in some unexpected capacity. And I just get kind of blown away and taught by that experience.
You know, one of the things probably worth mentioning, I think maybe it'll augment some of what you're wondering about, Nathan, and that is that I came into this continuum really clear. In other words, I had done all the clearing work before this embodiment, and I probably wasn't packing around a lot to begin with because I don't know how to characterize what I am on a higher level other than what people have said, and that's described as a cosmic wizard. But if you buy alchemy from somebody who is not clear, then you're going to just be as not clear as they are.
And, makes sense.
And so the clearing work is a huge part of it, because the truth is, and I've mentioned this, and is that those densities, those emotional densities that are lodged in the web of us, the lattice work of what we are what are leveraged to recycle humanity right back into it, which has been the story that the reptilians have been involved with all this time. And so it's not like, you know, you could talk to galactic managers and they'd say, oh, you guys are just so far behind schedule, it's unbelievable. But the truth is that the universe knows better than they do that there is no schedule, right? And therefore this almost interminable resetting of realities. You know, for instance, when 2012 was coming about, people were so excited about, I literally jumped right into a coven of witches, and they're all women, and they were so excited about ascending. And I just said, by the way, ladies, this is the fifth time we've tried this. So let that sink in. This is the fifth 2012 we've taken a crack at, okay? But we're going to pull it off this time. I guarantee it. And that's because so many people are aware on the level that I'm talking about. Now, if you want to repeat the process, keep believing the bullshit that you are. They threw me out. They hated me. And then afterwards, they rolled me back and they said, okay, so where do I learn what you know? But the point is that the recycling is only made possible by what you keep. Okay, That's why the clearing work is paramount in what we're doing. And so the clearer we are, the clearer our neighbor. So you could say that's a big part of what we're about is just, you know, clearing the spaces and holding the spaces of where we are. And so that's a big part of it too, is just making it so that the recycling has come to an end. And that's how, you know, how and why this paradigm is being pulled apart and why it's working on this go around. You remember in The Matrix when he finally got to the architect and said, know this, Neo, super being that you are. This is the sixth time we've rebuilt this world. And so you hear about, you know, for instance, in native lore, that this is, you know, the fifth or even sixth world. That's what's actually being referred to, because it's actually had to be reset so many times. And so, you know, you guys might be interested in the fact that Atlantis did not start from scratch. It came in fully formed. It just literally materialized on the planet as a fully formed civilization. And it literally dematerialized as a fully formed civilization. And yet the earthquakes, the misuse of tones and energies and crystals and so on and so forth, you know, they became their own demise. That was just the cover story. It happens to be true, but we're in fact living a cover story even as we speak. And they call them screen memories, for instance, if you're a UFO abductee. But that's what we're doing. We're breaking the pattern, and we've done it, pulled it off. We're moving into the next paradigm.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where all this new technology meets with, like, because there's obviously some people that aren't going to be making it.
Right.
Like, it's obviously, we still have to go through that.
Yeah, there have been, you know, like, here's a fun example for you. When COVID, I have a hard time even getting that sham out of my mouth. First broke, and people were, you know, piling into the hospitals over it. And the hospitals were, they were all instructed by the CDC to put a lot of people on end of life protocols. And so they murdered them, flat out murdered them. And while that's an outrage, the truth is that they needed to get out of here. And the reason they needed to get out of here is because they hadn't yet made the choice, the service to self or service to others choice. And two realities are coming into being, and all that tale, and that's in fact going on, and so on. But, you know, while it might seem an outrage, they're needing to be out of here.
On a right? soul level.
Right. And it's kind of all there is to it. So yeah, it's not that they are not going to make it. They've just literally chosen their own path, and their path was to be free of this gestalt.
So, do you still consider what we're going through like an extinction level event? You know, are we transitioning into a new way of being as humans because of the different energy frequencies, or is this going to be just another, you know, flood?
Oh, no, it's, no, we're just going to move forward into rapidly forward into all the new paradigms that are being, you know, the groundwork.
Like rapid discoveries, like Antarctica seems to be a huge topic, and Tartaria seems right. to be, you know, that.
Well, and maybe you noticed, maybe you're even the one that posted it, but you remember when the U.S. Navy released the patents on how to build a UFO?
Possibly.
I looked it over. It was a 700-page patent, drawings, diagrams. And so, all the tech is coming. The money is, it's all going to be reset. All the currencies are going to be revalued, so that, note for note, they're all the same purchasing power across the world. They're going to yank a bunch of currencies out of circulation, meaning I should say notes. And, so that people cannot manipulate inflation, things like that. But yeah, it's, what I think there are a lot of people picture, the picture they have in their head of what a golden age looks like could be something of a surprise, because this is going to be both organic and very technological. And it's going to lead to a higher technological utilization of biospheric components, plants and things. They're going to become technology.
I've also heard they have tech to, like, they can grow plants faster through speed, like through certain technologies. So like all the strife and the lack that people perceive on the planet, like the economy can be turned around on a dime. Most of what we're seeing is just propaganda.
Yeah, it's, like Mary and I were going back and forth a little bit last night. There has never really been a crash. There has only been what the media said was a crash. Right. And so all of it has just been lies and smoke screens and mirrors the whole time, the whole way. And as we all know, that's what's being pulled apart. And so the result, you could say, is just an unmanipulated, more natural functioning of the organism that is known as Earth.
What are your thoughts on the, I keep hearing rumblings of like a fake alien invasion to bring people together. And like, and what are your thoughts on Randy Kramer? He's kind of been an interesting individual that has stuck out in the past and that has really given us more in details on med beds and stuff. And
he's a good hearted dude. Got a great heart, got a good head, but he's been implanted with a lot of false memories.
Okay. Yeah, I've wondered that in the past since like the screen memory topic has come up.
Right.
How many of these 20 and back people are just relaying things that they can answer lie detecting tests, and they believe that they've went through these experiences so they can do that.
And some did.
Right. I'm not doubting. Yeah, maybe there are that element too, right?
And some did. But like I've said, at this point there really aren't any white hats or gray hats or black hats. It's all gray hats, because the forces of the dark, the off-worlders, have signed off on everything that's going on. It's only their earthbound minions that are kind of behind schedule. Right. But they're also performing their duty, because what most people fail to recognize is that everything the dark's ever tried to do is just made us stronger and better and clearer and faster. You know what I mean? It's like they've tried your damnedest, and all they did was make a stronger being. Where was I taking that?
Alien invasion.
It was about the false flag. And so it's kind of no longer whether or not it is so much a false flag by a nefarious party as it is what will it do to help people wake up, because that's all they're doing. There is nothing that they're doing that isn't designed to force people to wake up and to take responsibility. right? And right. So, you know, for my part, you know, if they did that, I you know, I'm grabbing a popcorn and whatever else so I can get out there and watch it, because I would be excited as I could possibly be about that.
Kind of like Independence Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be something else. But and I, you know, but I've always wondered, like, things like Valiant Thor, you know, the Stranger of the Pentagon, like, you know, yeah. You'd think that there'd be some level of, if there's contact like that, you know, you would assume that on some level we would have that in the future, and like a integration with our galactic cousins, I guess you could say.
Right.
But, you know, is that too far down the line?
Well, you know, the galactics that we all work with, they're perfectly aware that we're aware of them and that we're all a team, right? And so there really isn't anything that is going to keep that awareness from expanding. And that's kind of all that matters, because for the most part, for instance, you know, 4D, that's the astral, right? And that's where the grays operate. They don't operate in 3D. So when they, for instance, kidnap somebody and work on them, they're absolutely stunned when the person is screaming their head off, because that gray alien is actually talking to the 4D version of the person. Like, wait, you agreed to this. Why is this part of you screaming at us? You know, they can be that confused. And so what we're talking about is a deep inner commune going on other levels that don't necessarily include 3D.
But it's perceived differently by the experiencer that doesn't have the awareness of that communication on that level.
Right.
I mean, I freaked out when I was in my dream. I didn't see any grays, but I came to and I was like, whoa, I'm levitating out of my bed right now. This is real. And I turned around and, sorry?
What's this? Wow, that's wild. Go on.
Yeah, and I don't remember going to sleep, but all of this had to do, like I saw a really profound UFO contact experience. I'd call it contact experience. But before I moved out to where I'm living now, this is probably like 8 or so years ago, maybe 9. I was taking the alchemy. I think smoking a joint and having a cup of tea. And I went outside and it was like pink sky, clouds, and I just happened to be looking off into the clouds in the distance, and then there was like a flash in the sky as if like some type of portal was opening, and it looked like an upside down Nike check, like a tear in the sky. And there was a silver orb that shot out of it and then zigzagged 10 to 12 times and then disappeared. And it was, the scale of it was huge. And it was, you know, when I was taking the alchemy, and I've always wondered, like, did it raise me to a, like an upper octave or a different frequency to allow me to experience that?
Yeah, there are any of a thousand ways that could be explained in complex terms, but it was really more of a relationship you developed with it on the spot, and you couldn't, you know, without being in a higher vibrational sphere, you wouldn't have been able to establish that commune, right? That's precisely what we're talking about. It's just another way to define it.
Like that night when we saw our UFO, we were out in the desert and we were basically having a party. But what was interesting was in that moment, we were all acting like children. Like we were playing with hula hoops and it was just incredibly playful. And I seem to remember Stephen Greer, who does the contact type, you know, teaches people how to make contact. He was always saying that if you generate like a particular vibration, then it attracts them into your your world, but it's got to be the kind that you'd probably want to interact with. Group activities, making art together, doing something creative. It was a particular frequency that I think that we were emitting, and then we were able to almost like see what we were able to see. Whereas we've been out there many, many times before, and I've always looked for them, but I had never seen one like that before.
B is a child. I mean, that's exactly why I said it. Because innocence has access to higher spheres. That's all there is to it. The taint that happens to adults is what keeps those higher spheres from being accessible. And the reason is because those higher spheres have to protect themselves from us.
And all the junk that's caught up within our psychic fields.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's hard to dive into a cesspool and not get it on you. Right. And that's what we volunteered to do. But, you know, you clean the cesspool from within it. You know, you don't get to stand there with a net and sweep it through the swirling sludge and haul it out. You got to get in it to do it. This call has raised to a really, really nice level. If you tune into it, we're generating some serious stuff.
I just really want to know a little bit more about that friend. Because, like, you may not think you're an interesting person, Jason, but I think you're pretty fascinating. Even though we don't talk that often, because the way that I came to know you guys and the synchronistic events that I experienced up into meeting you seemed divine or whatever.
You mean the guy in Canada, the spook level alchemist?
Because I that connection, like, was that the same guy with the link to the Vatican archives? So how did that come about, and like the relationship there, because you said he made some precipitate for
let's see if I can figure out a way to tell this tale without spending a few hours to do it. Well, no, it isn't sensitive. No, we're not. Just, we can say anything we damn well please now.
Okay.
I was looking at a piece of property out in Duchesne, Utah, basically. And it was a 3,000 acre ranch that was a marvel of health. The rancher that ran it knew what he was doing, like I'd never seen, and he had the place for sale. And I was working with a guy. We were just having fun, basically running around testing various waters, because we were able to use a certain kind of electrolysis to get precious metals out of waters. And we could do it routinely. And so we went out there was a guy, he was a Mormon fellow that was just a beaming, beautiful heart of a man. And he was the agent on the property. And he happened to know my uncle. And so one thing led to another. And I said, well, get this, you know, and of course I'm in a network of lunatics that like to use technologies and treasure hunting. I've done all that kind of stuff, and everybody's been working on, you know, how to get to gold forever and so on. And I said, how about we run out there and see if we can get some gold out of the Green River. Green River is a good sized river that flows right around that ranch, and they had massive granddaddy water rights to it. And so the cubic feet of water that they were using to irrigate that 3,000 acre ranch was mind-boggling. And that meant that if we could get gold out of it, that we could set it up so that we were using the electrolysis to pull out the sludges that we would convert to eventually to gold. But the cool part about it was that the water coming out the other end was supercharged, and it was unbelievable for the plant. And so it was a big time win-win. And if we could do the gold, then maybe we put together an offer on that ranch that had to do with them being in a profit sharing situation on the purchase of what was basically a $9 million property. And so the more that we got to know that real estate agent, the more he was like, well, you know, I mean, I'm a Mormon and everything, but I'm kind of a spiritual guy too. And I know this lady named Almeen who lives in Newport, Oregon. And I think you need to talk to her. And I said, sure, sounds great. And I found out a little bit more about her and things like that. And she's a major guru with a following of 50,000 people or something like that. And
when was this? The 90s? Late 90s or? Early 2000s?
Let's see. I'm thinking that must have been like maybe 97 or 8 or something like that. And so he set it up and said, she's waiting for your call. She is a fascinating woman because she understood Mormonism from a really esoteric standpoint because it's really a Masonic religion, right? And she happened to be married to one of Britain's Pendragons. And so she was, you know, she was blood. She was, you know, reptilian, like it or not, that's what we are. I called, and she was so accustomed to people calling for readings or spiritual advice or whatever. Can you maybe see if you can explain to Metab what a Pendragon is? It's just one of the dragon families that, you know, is either good or bad that runs the show and in the world. And I said, no, I mean, I that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling because I'm more like a colleague, and I think that we need to learn a little bit about each other. And she stopped. She just stopped. It was wild. And it was a long pause. And then she started speaking in what a lot of people call the light language, and that isn't what I would call it. It's easy to recognize. I think it's just a language that was actually spoken by the Anunnaki, to tell you the truth, because I think that it was a precursor to a lot of the native languages, because, you know, Hopi, Zuni, a lot of them, they really resemble each other. And she started speaking that language. And I didn't know what was going on, but I just listened. It was beautiful to listen to. And then she translated it. She talked about how she I can tell this whole story some other time maybe, but the long and short of it was that she was channeling an explanation of how solidified physical being finally came into being. And that it had to do with galactic architects and how carefully and mathematically things were designed to make it so that the experimenters with physical form didn't so easily remember what they truly were, and then the physicality would just fall apart. In other words, they had to keep people in such a mode of amnesia in our own experiments, so that they wouldn't just spontaneously remember exactly what they are and then have the world dissolve. Because that's what was going on. It was dissolving right in front of them. And they're, oh, we're back to square one. Now we got to fix this again. We got to figure out how to get more physical, denser. And as she was telling this tale, she finally came to this point where she says, where she was talking about the Galactic Architects. And then she said, you need to be up here for our next symposium kind of thing, our next meeting. And I had a birthday coming up and I thought, well, why not? And I said, so I get to meet a Galactic Architect? And she said, you are the Galactic Architect. And that was the first time I had ever heard anything even remotely like that. And so, I hopped on a plane. I went up and I met some really, really powerful women, especially, her and a woman by the name of Mary Beth. And all mean is incredible. I mean, talk about, you know, she would gather everybody in her bedroom first thing in the morning. And she's got a 7-foot staff covered in feathers and a drum that she made out of hide that she harvested from a buffalo or something like that. And she would pound away on that drum and sing morning prayers. And it would generate such power. It was astonishing. And so that's how I met her. And then I went up for another of those meetings. At one of those meetings, I was talking about alchemical stuff because I was just starting to mess around. In fact, it was on that call that she, in fact, it was when we were in the meeting and it came time to focus on me a little bit. And in that focus, she said to the people that were present, this man's alchemy is going to change the world. That's what he's designed to do. That's how he set things up for himself. And so the guys that were present in the meeting, they got intrigued by it. And they said, well, we know an alchemist. He's a guy that lives in, inland from Vancouver a ways. And I think maybe you guys need to get together. And so they set that meeting up. I wound up calling this guy. His name is John Carneal. And he was tuned way into everything. He was really, really good at being, having his tentacles out there.
Can you look him up? Like, does he do public service?
He's long since passed. His health was awful. He smoked nonstop and he didn't do anything to, mitigate those effects and he didn't care to. But, massive golden heart and a really good guy. And I went up and met him and it just so happened that some super spiritual types were there in that meeting. And it was weird because they were both just as black gets. And we were both aware of it. We just basically drove them off with our energy. It was so wild. What frauds. The guy wore this white shirt with almost like doves on it and things like that. you're a black hole. Get out of here. And he had made a gold precipitate via a method that I've never tried and I'd still like to, that was fascinating. And I don't think that I'm at liberty to say that here. I just won't. But he described what happened. They wound up having to use heat, and the heat needed to be like 800 some odd degrees, and it involved some elements that have low melting points and gold, and it was all mixed together. And then they had a feeling of what they needed to do. I think he actually got this method by having been in the Vatican archives. And they ran off and positioned themselves 500 feet away with binoculars on tripods so that they could watch the shed that the furnace was in, the oven. And it gave the beautiful blue photon release that I think probably everybody in this call is aware of, that blue that somehow we all know what it looks like somehow. And It came right through the wall of the oven and through the shed that it was in, and they knew that they had it. And he went and got it and cleaned it up and everything, and he saved it. And the reason that he never used it is because the only usage that he had tried with it made him so empathic to other people that he was harmed by the blackness of their hearts. He was blown away that there were that many people walking around that were, you know, either literally just digital NPCs or just were, you know, that black hearted. And that really bugged him. And I think it bugged him because when he was, in his earlier career involved in the military, his job was as a silent kill specialist. And so he was one of those guys that would slip in and take somebody's hair back and open their throat. And he carried that with him in a way that I could see how awful it was. It makes me emotional to think about. And so I think that he, in many ways, was just trying to hold off, things that he knew about himself deep inside and that he couldn't forget, and had all that psychology involved and whatnot. And he found out something about the unit that he was involved in, and so he went AWOL. And his family was connected. Well connected to an archbishop in the Vatican. He was an archbishop of the Vatican and nowhere else. I think he was an uncle, to tell you the truth. And he never told me, but I think that's what the situation was. And he went there and they said, well, you know, you're going to have to put the collar back on. And so he did. And he said, before I do one more thing, I want access to the archives. And they said, we'll give you 24 hours. And they let him in there. And what he found disturbed him more than anything he had ever experienced in his entire life. And that's including killing all the people that he had. And that was how much he'd been hidden from humanity. That bugged him big time. And so he walked back out and told his uncle basically to fuck off, and he took the collar off, and it was basically a piece of paper, you know, the collar that you know, fits inside the cloth collar. That's what we mean by the collar. He took it off and he wrinkled it up and threw it on the table and turned himself in, left and turned himself in Germany. And at a base in Germany. And to keep him quiet, the Vatican or that archbishop leveraged him out of any repercussions from a military standpoint. And they almost like a witness protection, they put him in Western Canada, and he took all of the knowledge that he had gained from being in the Vatican and the military, because he was one of those guys that he had a go back. And even the year before, I think, so when was the first invasion of Kuwait? What year was that?
91, 90.
Yeah. Okay. That kind of stacks up. So he was a guy that, because he had such a scientific, a complete, well-rounded scientific background, he would get one of those pagers and he'd have to grab his go bag literally on the spot, walk out the door, get into a black Suburban that would race off into the night, take him to the nearest base, and then he'd get on a plane. And he was the one that went and constructed the cellular network in Riyadh, where command was set up. And so he was the one that turned me on to the location of powders in Utah. As he said, it was, you know, some of the best dry material that you could find anywhere. He called it rocket fuel. And he said, the government knows about this stuff, has the entire time. They've been studying it forever. And they would get on satellites, basically, and with those satellites scan the ground. And what they would wait for is when the monoatomics would go airborne, then they would know how to find it, because they could track it back to its source. And that's so how satellite. Pardon me?
Via satellite, I think you remember.
Yeah. And so they, that's how they did it. And they, on literally a mission for the Canadian military, drove down to Utah and found the location that is not far from the one that we still use. And he took that stuff and reverse converted it into a bar of gold. And then he had to go, you know, race off on some mission someplace. And when he got back a month later, he had set it in his kitchen windowsill. It had actually converted back to white powder. And I've kind of seen, you know, things a bit like that happen myself. And so it had not completely solidified, and it was probably because he hadn't used enough sulfur, because sulfur is, you know, exactly what it is. It's you know, the satanic brimstone that is, in fact, the very definition of the physical, salt and sulfur. And at that time, it was kind of interesting because they had gone out to, you know, out in Vancouver Bay or something like that. And I don't even know how much water they had to gather, but they got enough of it to do a precipitation of what turned into about, I'm going to say, 155 gallon buckets that were all being filtered in this big barn he had of his lab. And all of that was already purchased by the government of South Korea.
What were they using it for?
Yeah,
they were studying it, and they were going to get it into, you know, I think that was probably one of the phases of some of the white hat operations, because they were they owned a pharmaceutical company that was going to study it.
Wow.
And it was a ton. He sold them a ton of it.
I seem to remember, do you remember, you know, the channeler Bashar?
Yeah.
I think someone brought something up about chemtrails, and he seemed to come back with, I think he brought up monoatomic gold and them actually spraying it into the atmosphere to actually combat
right.
the current. Now, I was always kind of curious about that as well. And you know, if there are operations like that, and if they've been studying it, like I asked earlier, then there must be more extensive research, you know, if it's
which
been
I
around.
Think, which I think will probably come out. But the, yeah. Yeah, what they were doing with that, it was almost like a nebulizer.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Mm. Yeah, I'm just interesting to find more. Like, I'm really interested in the science. Even though I know science is, you know, a belief system in and of itself, but, you know,
sometimes, I mean, anything proven QED, you know, that's, you take it to the bank. It's the real thing. But tons of what is said in science is just made up bull crap that they've passed off as real, proven. Just follow the science. Follow the science.
Same thing with history, turns out.
Always told by the victor, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm in a pretty interesting book. These guys think that 1,000 years of history was invented.
Mm.
Yeah. So this ties into Tartaria and right. Hyperborea.
Right.
And I just noticed the other day, Henry Kissinger's book has a photo of, I think it's a New World Order book, and it's got a map of old Hyperborea and Tartaria, and it's like right in the background.
Right. So
they're kind of showing it to you. Like, and I got the impression that maybe they were, or the people behind Kissinger were responsible for this takeover. And, you know, it touches on how the Roman Empire may have been a farce. and that the real empire was the Tartarian Empire.
Right.
That they were the ones that built those structures.
Right.
And then David Wilcock touched on something interesting about how he was talking about a new technology that's not so new, but it has to do with concrete form, like new materials in concrete and formwork. And if you look at a lot of those structures, they're pretty unique, and you don't see a lot of advanced work like that, like today in concrete. And there was something in that Tartarian documentary about them using monoatomics in their structures. And it went further to say that these structures they created, like they had metal on the roofs, and certain structures were created a certain way, like in a toroidal structure. And it made me wonder, like, if all these structures played a role as energy generators.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, one of the best alchemical studies anybody could perform in their entire lives is to study the Chartres Cathedral in Chartres, France. It's
and Saint Petersburg. There's some element there because there seems to be a lot of squares dedicated to Saint Peter.
Right. Yeah, that you could spend the rest of your life studying Chartres and you'd not even put a dent in it. Mm. Unless you had a lot of advanced knowledge into, the real alchemical secrets. But, as an example, this is what Peter and I found out because, we were involved in it. It's interesting how many things I've been truly involved in on this planet. And there were nine of us, and we were Templars, but we were really only Templars by title. And we took the Ark of the Covenant into Chartres Cathedral and put it on the maze. Like, if you look up the maze, you'll recognize it. Just do a search for Chartres Cathedral maze, and you'll recognize it because it's used even in southern Utah. Chartres is Chartres.
Yeah, and there's another
thing,
interesting thing.
You can recognize that maze, right? That maze is a circuit. And you can use the metals that are in the stained glass windows, because those are not stained glass. They are pieces of alchemically created metal masses that determine the color of them by their masses. And I can't remember, the details of how it worked, but the way that the sun would come through that window at a certain time and would hit the circuit board that is that maze, and we zap the Ark of the Covenant into another dimension. Saint Germain told us that one. And and I said, well, okay, right on. What are we going to do with it? He said, someday you're going to bring it back. But it's the way that the Great Pyramid was built. You guys will love this. there was a translucent dome over the top of the ground, and they'd bring the quarried stone to the edge of that translucent dome. And by the way, I wound up having a dream about this on the planet where we figured out how to do this. It was covered with these domes and these pyramids, and the rough stones would be basically ushered to the edge of that dome by, they're almost like pallbearers. and these guys, they were just Egyptians that were using crystals to float them over there. And the stone would hit that translucent dome, and through, a tremendous racket and clouds of dust, would plane it into the exact shape that it needed to be in, and then it would float over and place itself exactly where it needed to go in the construction of the pyramid. And that's how it was built. And they quarried from sources that were heavy in natural monatomic. It made it easier to get the right frequencies happening so that it could be levitated and placed. All of that info is coming. That's coming. It's all coming. These guys think that the Jesuits, in fact, authored tons of that history, because what they wanted to do was give almost granddaddy precedence to land ownership and dominion over a lot of lands, and so they invented history to say that they had it for 1,000 years.
Okay, I don't want to spend too much more time on other topics, but I have to go soon. But what do you know about Turtle Island, and like the topic of like the Commonwealth, like the Queen not actually owning the land? Like, there's some legal battle right now. I think I was even posted back in the Telegram chat about like the Queen can't. She's like being she's been brought to court, or someone's brought this up in court, saying that she needs to come up with a deed to Turtle Island or something.
I don't know anything about that at all, but I know she's dead.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's
But they are going to say that she's a big turning point in all of this is when they announce that she's passed.
The London Bridge has fallen or whatever.
Yeah, she's already gone. But
yeah.
But Turtle Isle, I don't know anything about that. Is it intriguing enough to look into?
It was intriguing. I'm just curious, like, how all this is going to wrap up. Because there's so much converging all at once. It seems like there's just going to be a lot of, and this is funny, it's even brought up in Cliff High's data, which is actually seems to predict the future based on the data that it brings back.
Right.
And we're gonna get to a point, it says, that we're being inundated with so much information that it's gonna be hard to process. And I think we're kind of going through that.
Especially with timelines converging, there's a lot of it going on. Mm. I said to Mary, we're going to have to come up with a system on how to try to track stuff when it switches. So as an example, day before, I went to transfer at the bank. I know for a fact I did it. And it was to cover a check. And I got through the confirmation. I went back and looked at all the balances. It was there. It was done. And, she went to the bank and it wasn't done. It was like it never occurred. So it was very like, when Mary has a little story about having a full-blown, conversation with somebody in the market, getting her telephone number and then having it just disappear. If you pay attention, this stuff is happening all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sliding into a slightly different reality where most of the details are enough to, you wouldn't notice until you run across the thing that doesn't match up to your timeline.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe you should think about creating an anchor to this reality that holds the space where you can confirm somehow, some way that this is where you are.
Mm-hmm. Like a little totem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea. Like they used in
Inception.
It's inception, yeah.
Well, even though, you know, you're going to go into a different timeline or a parallel reality, and this is going to occur, which I'm seeing a lot these days myself, right. But something, and even at that point, would that help?
Something tells me it would.
And that came to me because of the topic, and it seems relevant because if there's something that is solidified, just like a boat and an anchor, you're here, you drop the anchor, that's where I am. I know that's where I am. So maybe you can reference that totem, that item, that thing to bring it back into the space or keep you tied. Not like we don't want to be going around and phasing in and out. That's cool stuff.
Well, you know, it's a perceptual thing, right? And
right.
And, you know, we are the nexus.
of
that convergence anyway, right? And so, you know, it's not like it's a bad thing, but it sometimes gets to be a nuisance, no question of it.
Yeah, yeah. I've been seeing that a lot lately with the work, the temporal work that I'm doing lately, and you phase out and you're like, okay, I know why I'm here right now. It's very interesting when you start experiencing those.
Anyway, I think I got to get going. So this has been a fabulous load of fun. And
yeah, nice talking with you guys.
Won't be doing it next Thursday, but I'm pretty sure it will be the Thursday after. And you know, we're gonna be, you know, the way that I explained it the other day is that if imagine somebody's holding a handful of sticks, and it's like pick up sticks, and you know, you let the sticks fall. Imagine the hand has let go of those sticks. Now they're going to fall in a certain configuration, a certain order, and they're going to fall where they fall. But right now the sticks are only halfway to the table. And so the whole world is in a pause that is set up this way to force people to examine themselves, to throw so much bizarre information at them that they start to go, oh no, you know, they throw their hands in the air. I don't know what to believe anymore. I'm done. So that they have to look at themselves to decide what is true, right? And so what is being called upon is just this sort of, I wouldn't even call it a quite subconscious layer of the collective to take responsibility and make a decision for themselves for the first time in the history of this planet. And then the sticks are going to continue to the table and the pause will be over. Well, we're almost to the other side of the pause. And that means that the super beings is going to be, you know, starting to make a lot more noise.
Yeah. Thank awesome. You guys for coming to hang.
So what time is the next meeting? When is that? Next, is it going to be weekly?
I think probably twice a month. And I think we're probably going to be Thursday nights. And a lot of it will just be, you know, where we just get together and just go silent and let the energy be generated and used however, you know, the thousand or so beings that are with us right now want to use it.
Did you guys do any energy work when I was gone or?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah, but we will be.
Yeah.
Let me tell you right now, those moments create new paradigms, let me tell you.
Yeah, they do. They do. I mean, what's really cool about it is that we can keep our intent the hell out of it, let the beings know what to do with it, you know, use it. That's what I love about it. That's what leaves me in just such a rosy-hearted state.
Nice. I'm going to give you a hit. I'm going to hit you up soon, Jason. I got some new stuff coming through, and I want to discuss with you. So
nice.
And I thank you all for being here, and I thank you all for putting out the beacon.
Huge love to all of you. Oh my God, what a gang of brothers and sisters we got going on.
Pretty awesome.
All right. Well, how about I unmute everybody all at the same time, and we just, you know, let our voices sing together for a second.
Hey, there you go.
All right.